Good morning. Today's scripture reading is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, and verses 27 to 54. Matthew 27, 27 to 54. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that we can know of the sacrifice that your Son Jesus made for us. And Father, we don't even have the words or any way to thank you for what you've done for us. But Father, this morning I pray that as we remember Jesus' sacrificial death and his love for us, I pray that each one of us would reflect in our hearts and just understand the depth of your love for us and the depth of your mercy. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us would receive that mercy and your forgiveness and be thankful for what you've done. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts this morning. I pray that you would speak through our pastor and that each one of us would leave this place changed this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Although Christ's birth, youth, and ministry were very unusual to those who were watching him and his followers, his last days and hours on earth were beyond human understanding and reason. Will you please stay with me for the next few minutes and disconnect yourself from the worldly thoughts, things, and join me while I follow Jesus Christ from a short distance. How things have changed since Jesus had received a royal welcome when he was entering Jerusalem. How things can change so quickly. They were shouting, "Hosanna, praise the Lord, there is our King." And they were even removing their coats, throwing them in front of him. So while he was riding a small donkey to go over these clothes. And that was a dedication. They were dedicating their lives and they were praising him and thanking him for who he was. After 2 or 3 days, they were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him, kill him." And they were cursing and swearing. Why? Because they were disappointed. Well, we see this daily in our politics. While hundreds and thousands of people shout a name, someone's name, and praise him and worship him, that is until they realize that they are losing or this candidate is losing, they start now, they switch their attention to someone else and they forget all about this candidate. So Jesus was welcomed as a king, we see from far, and then we hoped that he will be treated like a king. How things have changed. First, we see one of his disciples plotting to betray him. Well, the problem started from within the group, you may say, but everyone was plotting to kill him. Then we see Jesus having his last supper with his disciples where he washed their feet and announced his death. Then we hear Jesus predicting Peter's denial. And you may say all these things meant nothing to the followers. Washing their feet was something very noble. And Jesus showed his humility. He also showed them that he had not come to this earth to be served, but to serve. He was willing to wash their feet. He was willing to do something that someone else had to do it. The person who had the house, his disciples, the youngest maybe, or the oldest, but not Jesus, God, but he was willing to do it. We see from far. Someone from that group plans to betray him. Next, we follow him into Gethsemane, where we hear him ask his close friends and companions to pray with him, but they fall asleep. Jesus said before he left this earth, "Pray continually." He said, "Watch and pray," and we all fall asleep often. Not necessarily fall asleep in the church or in the Bible study or at home, but we fall asleep spiritually speaking. We forget about our commitment to God. We forget that the only connection we have with God is prayer. And we fall asleep spiritually. That's what the disciples did. And then while still in the garden, he is betrayed by one of his disciples. And he is arrested like a criminal by the soldiers. And at that particular moment when he needed them the most, Matthew 26:56 says, all his disciples deserted him and fled, leaving him alone. If sometimes you feel that you are alone and everyone has left you, everyone has turned his or her back, and everyone has rejected you, please remember that this is not something unique for you or it's nothing personal. But they did exactly the same thing to Jesus, our Creator and Sustainer. One disciple that followed him from far, when questioned, he denied that he knew Jesus at all. We do this all the time. Sometimes we do it without any words. We just ignore the question, or we pretend we didn't hear the question, or we pretend to be one of them or one of the group, and just cover our devotion or our commitment to Christ. Jesus was then brought to the high priest and the high council to be falsely accused by false witnesses. And there the chief priest and the elders decide to put Jesus to death. Also, we remember how he kept his silence and he didn't utter a word to defend himself. And then they bound him and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. And while the governor is trying to free Jesus, the crowds and the priests are shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him! And let his blood be on us and on our children," Matthew 27:22-25. And these were not empty words. They meant what they said and they got what they wanted. The blood of Jesus Christ is on those who do not accept him, who have rejected him. And as if all these things were not enough, in Matthew 27:27-31, we read, "The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the governor's place, and the whole company of soldiers gathered around. They stripped off his clothes and put a bright red robe on him. Then they made a crown of thorns and placed it on his head and put a stick in his right hand. Then they knelt before him and made fun of him. 'Long live the King of the Jews,' they said. They spat on him and took the stick and hit him over and over his head. And when they had finished making fun of him, they took the robe and they put his clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him." That is Matthew 27:27-31. Police brutality. They were complaining about police brutality the other day, and they would not even tolerate a police touch them. Police brutality, they shout. Army brutality, unjust treatment. But no one said anything about Jesus. He had done nothing, but they made fun of him. Can you imagine if this had happened today? What a big commotion, or what a big political price the soldiers or the police would have to pay. But then, and even now, the name of Jesus is being hated. People lose their liberty and are imprisoned. Anything done against a Christian, a born-again believer, a believer that has surrendered his life to the Lord is being ignored. But if you say anything against some other politician, some other religious group, you get into trouble. This is nothing new. There were no volunteers to help Jesus carry his cross. The soldiers forced a bystander by the name Simon to carry the cross. What a privilege for this man. At the place called Golgotha, the place of the skull, they nailed him to the cross between two thieves, one on his right and the other on his left. We're still watching from far. Passers-by shook their heads, threw insults and curses at Jesus. "Save yourself if you are God's son. Come on down from the cross," they shouted. The soldiers, in the meantime, were busy dividing his clothes among themselves by throwing dice, and then sat down to watch Jesus die. But then, all of a sudden, at about 12 noon, the whole country was covered with darkness for 3 hours. That is until Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" People around him were still mocking him. And finally, Jesus said, "It is finished. Tetelestai." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. At that moment, the darkness disappeared. The curtain of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split apart, the graves broke open, and many of God's people who had died were raised to life. When the army officer and the soldiers with him were watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and they cried out, "Surely he was the Son of God." What a tragic picture Calvary is of humanity. While the Son of God suffers for man's sins, the soldiers gamble for his few earthly possessions, the Jews make fun of him, and others just sit and stare at him. Yet, one Roman soldier confesses, "Surely this was the Son of God." Jesus' last words, "It is finished," John 19:30, actually was one Greek word. The word was tetelestai. It was used by merchants to mean the price is all paid. Servants would use it when their work was completed and they were reporting to their masters. And Christ, the obedient servant, had finished the work the Father gave him to do. Christ willingly and deliberately gave up his life. He laid down his life for his enemies. "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" The spiritual hymn asks, "Well, I was. I was there when they crucified our Lord. My every weakness, every shortcoming, my sinful and fallen nature was there and was represented by those people there. Everyone was represented there. Priests and church leaders were there. Fishermen and carpenters were there. Government officials and soldiers were there. Prostitutes and fornicators were there. Jews and Gentiles were there. Every conceivable sin and corruption was represented there. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Do you believe in him? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, or you are still doubting him? Are you waiting for him to come down and then you will believe? Yes, dear friend, he will come down once again, but not to save you this time, if you are not saved yet, but to judge this time. Many today are like those around the cross, looking at Jesus but not believing him, not receiving him. They were so near him, yet so far. They were so near him, yet they were so far. We go to church. I went to my barber yesterday and I was talking about Easter a little bit, and he said, "Well, you know, Easter..." And he didn't know what to say. He comes from a Greek Orthodox background. And then I went next door to a friend of mine who is a Latin American Catholic, and I said, "What about Good Friday? Are you closing the store?" And he said, no, church is..." And he didn't want to say. I said, "What, you think church is a big business?" He said, yeah, how did you know? Church is big business, I don't go." And then you talk to Protestants and they say, we are so closed to Jesus yet so far. We know how to say whatever we say, "God bless you, hallelujah, praise the Lord," and yet we are so far from him. Like all these people who had surrounded the cross, like all these people who were shouting, "Hosanna, praise the Lord," and when nothing happened to satisfy their needs, and when they realized that they were going to be left out because this man was only a religious man and not a political leader, a politician that would give them some money or some benefits or some position. They wanted him dead so they would wait for the next one to come. And yet they were all willing to give up their clothes 2 days before that. We have people today, men and women, Christians and other religious groups have their followers who are willing to die for their religion, but they're not willing to live for their leader. The people are willing to build hospitals and then make big checks to help a church or a religious group, but they're not willing to give up their free time and to come out from their comfort zone to serve God. You have young people and children and adults and old and men and women who will come to church, sit there, listen to the sermon and go home, and nothing has changed because they enjoy their comfort zone, being in their comfort zone and what they have. But Jesus went all the way to the cross, shed His blood, and He said, "My mission is finished, Father. Now it is up to them to either reject me, continue rejecting me, or accept me." But there was one dying man on the cross next to Jesus who reached out to Jesus and said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." There was this dying man. He used that last opportunity, the last breath he had, to reach out to Jesus and say, "Please save me. Now I know you are the real Messiah, the real God." How could he ever had said that when he sees Jesus dying there with him? How could he be the king? How can he be the Messiah? How can he be God? That's what the question is, but the answer is, his eyes were opened and he saw Jesus dying on the cross. What about you? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? He actually died so you and I can live. What are you waiting for? The question may be, "Well, I'm waiting to grow up. I'm waiting to become a better Christian. I'm waiting to stop doing what I'm doing. I'm waiting to lose that habit. I'm waiting to practice some more Christian living. I'm waiting to have what the prophets say. I'm waiting." And you know what? All these are excuses we use not to surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus who died on the cross for our salvation. May God just clear our thoughts and minds and help us to see the whole picture of God's plan to create us, to sustain us, to open a door so we can be saved after our fall through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus who came, lived, and died on the cross for our salvation. But he didn't stay in the grave, Lord. He is alive. Our Lord Jesus is alive as he was always alive. And Lord, we ask you this morning to please touch each one of us. Create a new heart. Break those hard habits to break. Create a new beginning in us. Create a willingness to follow you, Lord, and help each one of us to follow you. May the blood that was shed on the cross wash each one of us and give us a new start, a new beginning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.